It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
I had to update. Sorry.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 8.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always on the verge of death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Hey, welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK, WFPK.org, Consequence, and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thanks, as always, for making your way here and checking out the series. You know what to do. Like what you see, what you hear, hit that subscribe button. I put out 3 new interviews every single week. It's a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or again, anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. That's me, Kyle Meredith. Today, I am so honored and excited to have Maceo from De La Soul as my guest. We're going to be talking about, bringing the legendary group's music finally to streaming services, as well as the loss of co-founder Dave. Maceo's going to detail what it took to bring them into the digital age, breaking away from Tommy Boy Records, their ongoing relationship with Damon Albarn and Gorillaz, and one of my favorite moments of the interview, the weed and tequila-fueled night that resulted in the song Feel Good, Inc. Maze also goes on to discuss the group's next move, which includes the long in the works and rumored AOI 3 and live dates with Dave Chappelle and Robert Glasper. And we'll also talk about paying tribute to Dave during the recent Daisy Experience live show as well. It's all that and a whole lot more. This was so much fun. Let's get into it. It's Kyle Meredith with Maceo of De La Soul.
Good morning, Kyle. How you doing, man?
Congratulations on finally having the music out here in the digital world. This feels like a really big new moment for you all.
A very bittersweet moment, but a huge moment at the same time. Yes, very huge. It's been over 20 plus years, the music having been available, performing it around the planet, not being able to share it. It's been a bit daunting, but we're here.
And let me, I should throw my condolences out there too, with the loss of your friend and bandmate with Dave, is a huge loss for the music community. And, we were all thinking about you all right away.
Thank you so much.
But here we are, here we are finally, as you said, 20 years of it not being available. And what is amazing to me is, for the era that we're in, for the digital era that we're in,
yeah,
when you're not there, when anyone's not there, it could be like they don't exist in some senses. But somehow that wasn't the case with De La Soul.
You almost begin to feel like you're being written out of history, you know, when you're not there. Yeah.
But your name was around. Like, you didn't, like, I think that says so much, the testament of the power of your all's music and everything. I don't know. I mean, we've all sort of been following the story over these past 20 years or whatever, but take us back a little bit, you know. So the streaming thing happens, and because of the rights of all of the songs and the legal issues with labels and sampling and all that, we know it took a long time. How did we finally get to this point?
Getting to this point, it was a company by the name of Reservoir Media that purchased the Tommy Boy catalog, and the new owners found it in their heart to make the deal right for us and to be on the right side of history and hip hop culture. And, you know, ultimately felt like for all the work that we put in, we truly deserve to get the rights of our music. So I want to applaud Reservoir Media for making it correct for us, you know, feeling like it was something that we totally deserved. So I truly thank them for that.
To not have the rights to your own art, I mean, I can't think of anything more frustrating for a musician.
Well, here's what I try to tell a lot of artists and people who are on the other side of the spectrum. You know, when you first come into this business, you come in not knowing anything, just knowing the talent that you have to offer. And you get help navigating through the business through, you know, either hiring an attorney, having a business manager, let alone having both, you know, and also being in a different era and time when, let's try to compare it to real estate, when record deals are going around at market value. It was a different market value in the 80s than it is in the late 2000s, you know? So, you know, we're not having all of these tools that are existing today that actually lend to bargaining power and to making deals. So these are the tools that we didn't have back then. And back then, as a teenager, we wanted somebody to, or needed somebody to invest in our dream. So when somebody's investing their money in your dream, you got to understand that there's a lot you're going to have to give up for that to happen. And it's like going into any job, any kid going to work for McDonald's or any job, or even at the bank, being a teller, you're not going on the first day to become manager. You got to put your time in to be able to get those accolades and make more money, you know. Well, for us, it was just that. But it got to the point where once we earned those accolades, the deal just wasn't really changing significantly, you know. There are many times we tried to come back to Tommy Boy throughout the course of our career and negotiate some things, and we've made some headway to get certain things. Even at that time, people would say, hey, go to another label, which those were options as well. But when you look around the corner at different other labels, they're not doing much different than what Tommy Boy is doing either. So they're all in this big pool of what they call standard practice together. At some point, I superseded standard practice. We superseded standard practice. And that's what we reached to this day. But it definitely took it should have happened a long time ago. It would have been nice for it to have happened under the Tommy Boy umbrella, based on the history Tommy Boy has in hip hop culture and the history we shared with them. Unfortunately, the business couldn't pursue for it to continue that way, let alone the business had been unfair for years, you know. So to even try to sustain some sort of relationship with Tommy Boy had been very difficult. And I don't think it's even possible at this point, because we wouldn't even be here this day had we made the decision to sign that bad deal. I don't think we would be celebrating this at all. So for the most part, all I can honestly say is, it worked out for him It worked out for Tom, and it worked out for us. You know, he was able to sell the catalog. It was publicized in the media. He made about a good $100 million. And I believe he's okay. He's more than okay.
So I would say so.
There's no bad blood, just definitely having to go separate ways so we can succeed just as much as he has, you know.
And we'll be right back right after this.
There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan, additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
Save big money on your next upgrade now at Menards. Some things never go out of style, like tile from Mohawk. You can count on the durability, easy maintenance, and timeless beauty of tile. With over 350 ceramic, porcelain, mosaic, and glass tiles to choose from, Mohawk Tile provides long-lasting charm in any space. Visit the store and Menards.com to see all of our great deals going on in our weekly flyer.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Mace of De La Soul.
Well, then just to have your songs back, to be able to do with them what you want to do with them. And that's got to be everything.
On the flip side, it's amazing for the fans to finally have it. It's amazing to look on all the streaming platforms and it's right there. Like, wow, you know, it's amazing that there's a whole new generation that's grown up in hip hop. It's getting to experience De La Soul for the actual first time, you know. I have to even admit that by the music not even being available, there was things that my kids weren't even really exposed to, you know. And behind moving so fast through life, hadn't been enough time to sit down and share the music. But it has been recently, in recent days, it's been a real pleasure amongst my family to really see how the music is available to them. And then they coming back to me, you know, like, oh my God, I didn't know it was like that. So it's been actually cool, man.
And really now cool. you can join the ranks of all the other artists in the world that now you can start complaining about how little money you get from streaming. So
yeah, now I can complain about the other parts and fight for that, right? But you know, at least I can be a part of fighting for it for the entire industry, not just us.
Never, ever stop somehow, right? Somehow.
Yeah, don't stop. Yeah. You know, they always figure out a way to chisel us.
But it is, the convenience is nice. I mean, I say this, you know, not just, you know, from a host here, but also on the radio side of what I do. You know, we've been playing De La, you know, but we have to find the discs, and sometimes that's easy and sometimes it's not. And sometimes we have to go to, you know, pirate site, you know, you have to go that extra mile just to play it.
YouTube, what have you, you know, there's even a moment that, you know, we felt the anguish and we even gave the catalog away for it was 1 year. We gave it away on a Valentine's Day for about 24 hours. We found some Russian site that housed it. So it kind of kept us from getting out of trouble because all we did was share it from a site that was already pirating the music. So, but it was a frustrating moment to know, like, here we had, I think it was around our 20th anniversary, and it was frustrating. And then we just decided to give it for free, you know? Just so, you know, because we were also embarking on a new audience at that time as well by hanging out with the Gorillaz and to perform with them. And there's a whole audience out there that just can't get the music. That is frustrating, bro. Very frustrating.
And let me say, you know, while we're at that moment, too, thank God about the relationship with the Gorillaz, because that has kept and you know, we played tracks from the last album, which is, you know, now about a decade ago too, but but having always something coming through with Gorillaz, you know, whether it's, you know, Super Fast, I hear that one playing all the time, and I know you're on the newest one too. What has that relationship meant to you? I mean, you know, teaming up with Damon time and time again, I think De La is the only other consistent group on a Gorillaz albums on their discography, more besides the band himself.
There's a brotherhood that been developed there. We're like family with Damon. We are family with Damon. You know, I've spent time with his wife and children right in his home. You know, this is a relationship that the universe put right in our lap, you know. I think that's one of those many blessings that have come from the hard work we put in, and to be requested by him and then to ultimately be inducted into his family because he just feels there's an energy that he's a part of here, you know, and he really is, you know. He loves our brotherhood. He's seen us fight. He's seen us kiss and make up. You know, I think what he admired about us was everything that he could really achieve with his own group, you know, by continuing on as a group member, you know, because a lot of people don't know that's where he really comes from. And then, you know, being a part of the Blur, and then for the most part, then moving on, doing his own thing. But as you can see, the group thing is a thing for him because he has the Gorillaz, the ensemble of the Gorillaz. You know, granted, he's the main maestro of the program, but everyone plays a very strong role in that program. And they're a big family. They're a huge family. They're really huge. And, you know, I remember him saying that the Gorillaz was like, it tended to be like a one-off project. And it's been coming back to haunt him just behind the love of the people he worked with, you know? And he like us, I learned that he's not one to try to repeat anything. He tries to move on to the next thing. But with this, he can't. It's just something about this. It's just been coming back to haunt him and everyone else for the love and the spirit of the music, though, you know? Because he's not like somebody that has to tour, you know? He's not like somebody that needs the money, you know? He's truly out there for artistic value, you know? And I got a lot of love for that.
And yeah, I mean, you all compliment each other so well. Again, when I think of De La and I think of Gorillaz, I think of you both at the same time.
I mean, there's, like I said, there's a brotherhood there that I think no one can deny. You know, you can even tell off stage, we're family. And it's a beautiful thing, man, that it happens over the music, man, you know, and we get to make these powerful songs together.
Does the process differ when you're working with him than if you were, you know, just doing De La stuff?
The process is similar. The creative process is very similar. I think no idea is a bad idea until we try it, you know? All egos is checked at the door. Everybody is doing their best to make a great song, you know? And he, like us, he hears people on songs like instruments, you know? Everybody's vocals technically is an instrument, and that's how he hears the track. So, you know, he comes to people with these ideas. Sometimes it may shift, because even with us, when we went to do Feel Good Inc., the initial song was Kids with Guns. And when we were having a conversation about Kids with Guns, I honestly came out and said, hey, man, I think we're forcing it. I said, I don't think this is the record, Kids with Guns. I think we're not really collaborating. We're just featuring on the record. It's like Gorillaz featuring De La. We really need to do like a collaboration, you know, where we both artistically show our flavor. And sure enough, after a lot of weed and tequila, Feel Good Inc. came up. Dave's rhyme on the song is a spoof of Doodle Brown by Luke Skywalker. If you really listen to the rhyme pattern and some of the cadence, the rhyme pattern, and some of the lines, the don't stop, get it, that's all a little bit of Luke Skywalker, Doodle Brown.
and thanks to Weed and Tequila, we have one of the biggest songs of that entire decade, of this side of the millennium.
Yeah, right. That side of tequila, right? Oh, shit.
Sometimes that's all it takes, right there. That's noted.
Yeah, I'm tequila, you know, a little smoke.
I do love, you know, that collaboration. I love seeing what you guys do. You know, the Anonymous Nobody was such a fantastic record right there, and everything that's came along with it. And, you know, and I want to bring up the celebration, too, because you guys just did the Daisy Experience. That was the live on stage. And I just watched it. So I watched it last night. I went back to YouTube. I watched the whole thing. And what an incredible night that must have been. How the stage didn't collapse. That's the first impressive part.
Webster Hall holds up pretty tight.
Yeah, it does.
Those years, yeah. The architecture's great.
Yeah. What was that experience like for you? I mean, I was going to ask what the backstage was like, but I'm pretty sure the backstage was on the stage from everything that it looked like.
Very bittersweet moment. You know, seeing everybody that we pretty much grew up with in this business, people that we even helped out, you know, when they came a little bit later, like a Common or whoever, you know, or Talib Kweli, all of those people are definitely, you know, our comrades and our family members in this business. I mean, I think people really are, one thing I think people are aware of are our relationships with the people that we worked with and how they stood the test of time, you know, and all those people that were there. It was a beautiful feeling. It was a sad moment at the same time. You know, that was supposed to be our grand old release date, which ended up turning into a memorial service for Dave. We almost didn't do it, but I'm glad we did it. It was Paz who definitely put the battery in my back to be like, yo, Mace, we got to make this happen. And the image he put in my mind to make me feel like we needed to do that was, he was like, look, man, we're going to celebrate Dave's life like that scene in Beach Street with Ramon. And when he said that, I was like, I had more tears. And I was like, yes, that has to happen. Because we always made references to Beach Street or Wild Style or, you know, something of that era. There's a big homage to that era from De La Soul. It's just what we really grew up on, what really inspired us, what really gave us chills to want to even be a part of this thing called hip hop, you know? So, and to reflect on that scene in the movie, it was a sad moment, but bittersweet moment, because it was a New Year's Eve party that they were looking to celebrate with their boy Ramon, who was one of the biggest graffiti artists, you know? And yeah, Dave was our graffiti artist. Dave was our Ramon. Dave was the one who did all our haircuts. Dave was the one who actually drew the plug sign. You know, his artistic value in this group is top tier, very top tier. He had the bird's eye view of this group. You know, the one that always brought something a little more quirky and different and unique, but funky.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Mace of De La Soul. I mean, one of the things I always loved about you all is the melody and soul that you brought to every song. Because, you know, there hip hop, you know, was great. And for what, you know, you also brought to rap, but it was more than that. There was this soul in every song. There was this melody in every song. And I think that's what, for me, also makes you one of the greatest, you know, that you all pull off.
Thank you, man. And the music was inspiring. The things we grew up on, the things we listened to, the things our parents played. And then to continue on just learning more music and implementing other types of styles and sounds and, you know, continue to build this collage art, you know, of music that, you know, we either grew up on or we had the pleasure of traveling different countries and learning different styles and bringing it back home and trying to implement it in our body of work.
It shows. It does. I was just also thinking I have the Beat Street cassette right over my shoulder. I can't grab it, but it's so close. The soundtrack to that.
Gotta clap that up right there. He got the cassette. That's nice.
Right over there. If I could only grab it from where I am. But
yeah, that night was like, it was almost like the scene out of Wild Style and Beat Street, you know. Definitely the vibe and the energy of you know, the, you know, Morning Dave, that part, feeling like Ramon passed away. And then the other side of it was feeling like we were performing live at the amphitheater, you know, Wild Style Part 2, with all that energy on stage with the performances. And the highlight of the night for me was Latifah and Moni, because I haven't saw that in years. I think the last time I saw them together was like 91, you know?
And they sounded great. I didn't expect it. Like what I was saying before the interview that, you know, when I was watching it online, like I hadn't read a review. I didn't look to see if there was a set list. I just kind of went into it blind, as if I'd, you know, been on the floor that night. Mm-hmm. And they walk out, and you're like, oh my God, is this going to happen? And sure enough.
We all walked into it kind of blind, because something completely different was supposed to happen. and that happened.
Yeah.
I looked up, I think it was D-Nice or Stretch Armstrong. One of them threw on Ladies First, and it took off from there. And I was like, okay, let's go.
I see Moni do the backup vocals on, I think it was Me, Myself, and I, and Pause Every Time, would break down laughing almost at that moment. It was so fun to watch.
Love Moni. It's my little sister.
So what happens next? I mean, is that the big question here? I mean, is there vault stuff? Is there AOI 3 that we're finally going to... I mean, what happens next?
Oh, AOI 3 is definitely... It's going to take precedent. It's happening. AOI 3 is going to be the very next thing. That's a responsibility that we have to our fans, a responsibility we even have to ourselves with completing that trilogy. And it pretty much, it always stood on my shoulders, but it was something that had to take place after we did all of this, you know? Because what was the sense of doing AOI 3 and 1 and 2 is not available.
Yeah, that's true. That makes sense.
So it was a lot of little pebbles in the road that we had to kick out the way so we could get back to some of this. AOI 3 was always the plan, even before Dave passed. So it still has to happen. At the same time, we have a responsibility to continue on just to sustain his legacy and what we've built as three childhood friends. And we have a responsibility to hip hop, you know, to be a part of something that had to be a force to be reckoned with, you know, throughout music culture, you know, one of the youngest genres in music, the youngest genre in music. You know, I have to do it the same way. I have to do it till I die. Yeah.
I mean, is this stuff you guys have, was some of it already recorded, or are you starting fresh on it?
So a lot of stuff is fresh. There's a couple of ideas I've been sitting on for a while. Nothing had lyrics on it. The stuff that had lyrics on it, we already kind of leaked it. That was the Return of the DST, the Chuck D record, The People. The other one that we leaked was the return of the Wu. We used the Wu-Tang sample, the skit, the Wu-Tang skit. Those three records pretty much were supposed to be a part of AOI 3. And then there's another record that was done that we haven't released, but I'm going to put it on a record because it holds up. It's a song called Rise that we have with Yummy. Yeah, and it has a real disco roller skating vibe. And I think that's going to fit really nice. And then the new stuff that I have that, you know, that's been coming up is feeling real good. Really. Yeah.
I can't wait to hear it. I mean, seriously, of course, I can't wait to hear it. You know, we're all fans. We're all greedy fans. And we just want, and we want. And thank God you guys keep giving.
every time I play the, every time I do my Twitch show, when I do a DJ, a De La set, I play the Yummy record. I will play that one. Yeah. That one is actually, that one is produced by Minnesota. I don't know if you know who Minnesota is. Minnesota is, he produced some stuff for Mos Def back in the day, but he's from a group called Money Boss Players. And that was, it was him, Lord Tariq, and Peter Guns, and somebody else. And they were known as Money Boss Players. They also had a, they had a record with Biggie back in the day. I think it was called Time or something like that, or Big Time. I think it's called Big Time. Incredible record. Incredible. Like one of the hottest underground hip hop records. Literally.
I got some homework to do after this one.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. Yeah.
Money Boss Players. They're from Harlem.
Well, I'll be looking forward to all of it, to AOI3. And of course, again, it's just so nice having the back catalog there. Kind of just listening to actually Fallen is what I was listening to before we did the interview today. That's Judgment Night soundtrack. Yeah.
That was fun. I remember
with the Teenage Fan Club. Is that right? Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. Meeting them for the first time and trying to figure it out. That was really cool. Yeah.
It's a fun one to go back to. Macy, thank you so much for continuing to do what you do. Congratulations again on finally, as you all said in the Daisy Experience live show, of landing that plane to get to this point. And I'm so excited to hear that you're going forward.
Yeah, you're gonna see us on stage. We're getting ready to move around with Dave Chappelle a little bit. We're getting ready to move around with Robert Glasper a little bit. So you'll definitely see us on stage, you know, trying to keep things going, keep the light on with the De La light and represent Dave's legacy, man. If we stop, he stops. So that's just how it got to go. I want to thank you, because that smile on your face lets me know you've been down for a minute. So I appreciate that smile, you know, and, you know, telling your audience and whoever's checking for you about De La, man. I really appreciate that, man. Because that sound in your voice says De La means something to you. So thank you, bro.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I always will. And I mean that. I seriously mean that.
Thank you.
All right. Macy, thank you so much for taking the time. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Same here. You have a good day, bro.
And again, thanks to Maceo there. So it was back in 2016, I think, 2016, right? When De La released their most recent album, And the Anonymous Nobody. I got to catch up with Dave at that point, so I want to include that interview here for you as well. It's part two of Kyle Meredith with De La Soul.
Hi, Kyle. This is Dave of De La Soul.
I'm loving the new record.
Thank you, bro. Appreciate that, man.
Where does this album start? Because I don't know if you want to call it the comeback record, but because it's been a little while, it kind of by default becomes the comeback record.
I guess people can consider it a comeback record, obviously just because of the time lapse since our last release. But I guess the way we worked is to never force anything or be on some sort of schedule. The opportunity to have our own schedule fell in our laps because we basically aren't signed to any label or any deal or any have any obligation to any company, corporation, etc. So you know, we take our time with the music, and this album just came at a good time where it just felt good to follow the flow of recording and release something. So yeah, that's pretty much where it came from, actually.
You know, I mean, using that word comeback and everything, and I don't know, maybe it's because I mostly live my life in, generically, I'll say the rock and roll world or whatever, but it seems harder to do what you guys are doing in hip-hop than it does. I mean, if any genre boasts being a young man's game, you know, it seems hip-hop with everything, the bravado and everything that comes along with it, but
right.
Like, I don't get that with you guys at all, that you're having any trouble getting people to pay attention or to find the creative fire.
Man, I think there's a story behind what we do. Obviously a history as well behind what we do. And you're so right. It's funny, you know, I'm just thinking about it now. It's like, you know, you see a classic legendary rock and roll band. You know, if the headlines are they're coming back, it's important. It's big. It's anticipated. And I think sometimes, you know, with hip hop, you know, we're in this genre where hip hop is young. It's about what's vibrant and what's happening right now with the youth. And, you know, you don't usually always see, you know, the classic, legendary, or old schoolers, if you want to call us that, like, you know, get this big, you know, anticipated moment. We're trying to find our way through, you know, what's happening on radio and popularity to get back in there. But I think people, you know about De La's history. We come and do, you know, what we do. It's not going to sound or compete in any way with anything else that's happening out there. So I think the interest is about, you know, what new is going to come out of this, what's going to be interesting about this project. And I'm glad that's how people see our, if you want to call it, comeback.
I mean, there's sort of a revival from the era, you know, that you guys, you know, really hit big from those early 90s. I mean, that revival, you know, it's always cyclical music, and that's come around again. But, you know, what you're doing right now, you know, where as opposed to some folks would take advantage of that and be like, okay, let's come back out and let's do that sound and let's, you know,
right,
do the life right again. Like, this isn't that record, right? This is not a nostalgia trip. Like, I don't get that from the record.
No, it definitely isn't. This is the platform we've always been on. Move forward. You know, the last thing that we did was great, you know, as well as it was received. Let's move forward and try something new. We're not those Daisy Age, you know, Dayglow Color, Flower Power kids that we were in the late 80s into the 90s. You know, we're you know, adult men with families, you know, are still appreciating the art and the culture and trying to do new music. This record is a far cry from anything we've done in the past. Just even the way we recorded this album, the process of, you know, recording live musicians and sampling from live musicians, as well as subject matter. We're in our, you know, mid-40s, and we're talking about different things. So,
and I mean, I guess the content has really sort of always been what you guys are about. I mean, the music's always been fun, and you guys have done a great job at that. But, you know, it's digging in, and it's not just, you know, some fun hooks that people can sing along to for 20 minutes and then forget it for 20 years or whatever.
Right.
And I don't know, like, where did you guys go for when you went for the words on this? Because there's a lot happening in the world right now. I mean, there's you know.
We've always been, I guess, a band, a rap group that you can say, you know, we're about, you know, commentary of where we are in our lives and where the world is. And there is a lot happening, but I don't think we dive into that. Again, we've been recording this record for the last 3 years, so you can imagine there's been a lot that we could have talked about that's happening in a world stage right now. We didn't address, you know, what's happening in politics or socially or what have you. We talked about our experience in making this record. I think we talked about, you know, our lives at the moment when we were making this record. Also just trying to be creative as well and just do some creative things, which have nothing to do with the climate of what's going on around us or in our environment. This record was more so subject matter. You know, we sat down and whatever felt good or felt like it made sense, we obviously pursued. But I think for the most part, this record is really concentrated on the music and the style and the sound and the instruments and the procedure in which, you know, we made these songs. It isn't really about subject matter. It isn't really about, you know, words into this record, although, you know, I think that's something that we do naturally. We are like poets. We do like to sit down and write clever things, cool things, fun things. But the main concentration on this record, again, I think, is musically the production, the instruments, the musicians, the amazing musicians that we play with a band by the name of the Rhythm Roots All-Stars out of L.A. It's basically more about the sonic aspect of it, the musical aspect of it.
And you guys are seriously doing some new things. I mean, when I listen to Drawn, you know, and you've got Little Dragon there, I mean, geez, it's, you know, the sound coming from that is even almost unique for her.
Yeah. I mean, a song like Drawn is, you know, it's a beautiful example. It's like, there was, you know, you're a hip hop group. You enjoy hip hop. We listen to, you know, the old stuff as well as the new stuff. We're fans of the Big Seans and the Lil Waynes and the Drakes and everybody else. And then we'll revert back to KRS-One and Public Enemy and Tribe Called Quest. We're fans of all of it, but this record had it wouldn't indicate that that's what the space that we were in. When you have groups like Little Dragon and David Byrne and Damon Albarn, and you know, people like that on the record. I mean, we wanted to go as far as having, you know, folks like Willie Nelson and Axl Rose. If we would had an opportunity to work with him, we wanted him on this record, and so many others that would kind of fit the space that we were in. The Little Dragon record is a perfect example of it. You got a song that's about over 4 or 5 minutes long, and it has maybe a 16-bar rhyme way at the end, and then before all of that, it builds up from this, you know, this beautiful piece of music to this amazingly emotional piece of music, and then into hip-hop. So I think the space that we were in was just being, just experimenting. Mm-hmm. We've never worked with a band. We've never worked with live musicians in that capacity. So for us, this is all experimentation. But once again, with De La, not being afraid to land where it goes, you know, this doesn't have to sound like a hip-hop record. If it sounds beautiful, if it sounds good, you know, let's keep going with it.
And I want to talk about that band, too, because, you know, famously in the past, you guys were really sample heavy with your music and all the legalities that come with that. We can talk about later if we want to. But here you are working with a band. You know, what do? Do you go into it and just let everybody jam and start finding your way in it? Do you, you know, reference some classic sound and say, let's try to go for that? What do?
Right. Well, I mean, that's the perfect place to start. Like, what do we do? How do we communicate what we have in our minds and what we feel? The first step that we took was brought in a good friend of ours, Super Dave West, who's been producing for us for quite some time now, into the picture. He is a, you know, straight out of the church, you know, drummer, and knows about music and knows about instruments and how to musically direct a group of people. And we needed that. We needed the way to a bridge to communicate to these musicians what we would like to hear, what we want. We didn't know what to do. We didn't know what, you know, different terms were, whether it be vibrato or whatever it might have been. We didn't know how to communicate to a band what we'd like to hear, where we would like to go. So we bring in someone who can actually be a voice, who knows about our hip-hop background and also knows about, you know, live instrumentation. And we bring that voice in to be a liaison, to be able to talk back and forth with the band and tell them and get what we want out of it. And then we bring in a talented group of people who we worked with for the last 10 years into a studio, and we do allow them to jam. It did begin with us saying, hey, we want a beat like this, or we'd like to do a hip-hop opera, and we'd like to do that. And it did start that way, but it just didn't feel right. We felt like we was trying to make songs opposed to allowing musicians to play where we can sample from. And that's what happened. It was like, you know, let these guys just jam. Get them into a studio and, hey, there's six of us now. There's a drummer here, a guitar player, a bass, and there's a trumpet here. Okay, well, go in there and just do whatever. Here's the tempo. Record, and let's record it as long as we can, as long as you guys, you know, feel good about it and keep it rolling. Yeah. And then from that stuff, we went back and listened and picked out a horn or picked out a major section or used a longer piece or chopped a bass line up or snatched a snare, et cetera, et cetera.
And that, I mean, that's got to be so freeing creatively, because any artist, and I'm saying beyond any genre, it doesn't matter the genre, when you're in the game, as long as you guys have done it, it's so easy to just lose the flame, to stop caring, whatever it is, you know, to stop trying and to be able to find new tricks. I mean, that's got to feel great.
That's true. I think, you know, I believe that's a part of why it took us 10 years plus understanding it, accepting it, and allowing it to be. You know, we don't know what that spark is yet. It hasn't happened. The fire isn't there. We haven't felt something new from us. We haven't felt, you know, that, you know, turn of the corner or the next page. It just hasn't happened yet. During those 10 years, it just didn't happen. And out of nowhere, it started forming. It started taking place. And that's when you realize, hey, I think we have an idea here. I think we got something good going. Like, this feels really good. And you don't say you're recording a record. I don't think we said, okay, let's put out an album. I think it was more like, hey, let's concentrate on this direction, this feeling, this vibe right here. Let's not push it, but hey, can we get into the studio again tomorrow and try something again? Cool. Okay, tomorrow comes. Hey, man, yo, how about we book like 3 more days? That's how it started taking place. And I think it's a natural thing and a good feeling to know that something is happening naturally. We've never, ever been wanted to be the guys who are forced or even inspired by what's taking place or what's feeling like we should do or what everybody else is doing. We've always wanted those people to be the people who just catch a vibe in our own world, in our own language, and in our own time, and really concentrate on something that feels good.
I'm so glad it happened the way that it happened. I mean, you know, I know there was no one probably knocking down your door saying, you know, as you said, you're not under contract. There's no one saying you have to have the Soul record coming out right now. And if this is what it took to get here, you know, so be it. Because again, this is easily one of your finest records. And I know it's you know, completely crappy to always compare to your past or something like that. But you know, you've done it. Like, not everybody could do that. I love it, man. I love what you guys are doing, and I hope you guys keep doing it for another, you know, 30, 50, 70 years, whatever it is.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it, and I love it, too. I have to say, you know, this record is definitely something special. It isn't like anything we've done so far, and the experience alone, not like, okay, we got banging tunes. We got some good joints. Not special in that sense. Especially in regards to the journey, it's something that, you know, just peeled back some more of the layers and allowed us to learn and grow. Like, to sit down in a room with musicians and see how this really works and maybe get a glimpse of what it might have been like in the room with Parliament and Funkadelic, what it might have been in the room with Prince, or what it might have been like in the room with Ohio Players, how musicians come together. And there is a magic that happens when people are free and just give themselves to a moment and just freely just give. That's what the whole concept of the anonymous nobody is, that individual who just gives for the greater good and isn't worried about, you know, what they're going to get out of it. I'm just going to give you something special from me. And if you could use it, let's use it. If we could learn from it, let's learn from it or grow from it. And that's what was the great experience with this record. That's why I say it's special.
That's beautiful. You gonna take the band out on the road?
Yes, man. That's the plan, man. To really concentrate on an amazing production of, you know, this album and let people see it. We don't want to do a big tour where it's, you know, 35 cities or anything like that. Like maybe 9 or 10 special cities, you know, and put together this amazingly, you know, music production and give you guys a great show.
Awesome. I can't wait, Dave. Thank you so much for talking today. And again, thanks for this album and everything else.
Thanks so much for listening, man, and appreciate it, bro. Appreciate it so much.
And my thanks, De La Soul. All the entire catalog is now on any streaming service that you would like. And it sounds like an album on the way as well. So thanks to Maze. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Before you get out, I do hope you hit that subscribe button. Again, you'll get 3 new interviews every single week, new and every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, to keep you up to date on your favorite artists and discover the new ones at iTunes and Apple Podcasts, at Spotify, Podchaser, NPR, WFPK.org, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. And then head to WFPK.org because that's where I do a show Monday through Friday starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's song premieres, music news, anniversary spins, bonus interviews, Monday through Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on the social media spots. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all 3 of them. The address is at Kyle Meredith. So I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Have a good day, bro.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.